Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and hey, like I said, it's Friday, so you know what that means.
Start spreading the news.
Oh, that's right. Schomburg Stewart here. Stu, how you doing?
All right, and hey, how about that superstar Cubs catcher?
I didn't even know who was catching. But, hey, if you'd like to call into the podcast and tell me who was, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there, hopefully sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter, but feel free to reach out to me. I'm at Burke Time, and I can pass anything along you might want to let Stu know about. So there you go. All right, so we're off and running here, Stu, and there are a couple interesting things football-wise right off the bat. Have you seen that the NFL sent out a memo to teams basically saying if you have an unvaccinated player and your team has a COVID outbreak, you will forfeit games?
When did that come out, a couple days ago, that announcement?
I think I want to say yesterday.
Yeah, I did read that, and that's an interesting proclamation by the NFL, don't you think? And I have to think there's some merit in it, though.
I do wonder, obviously I would like to see everybody get vaccinated to be safe, but I understand, there are people who have questions. Again, these are the same people who don't realize that they've already been vaccinated for polio many years ago, but that's a different story. I do wonder, and I'd like to get your opinion here, what kind of discourse do you think this causes in a locker room? Because obviously there's going to be both sides. So
yeah,
how is that going to work out?
Could it cause dissent in the locker room between the vaccinated and unvaccinated players?
Yeah, well, you've got to figure if a team, especially a playoff team, has an issue and has to forfeit a game or even two, that's going to be a big problem in the locker room. So I think it could get ugly.
Do the players have any recourse regarding this edict that the NFL came out with?
No, I don't believe they do. I mean, obviously they could try to fight it, but they can't fight it until something actually happens. So by the time they would actually be done with their argument, it would be too late.
If something like this happened during the latter part of the season when there are playoff implications, as you suggest, I could see havoc publicity-wise for the NFL, and not in a good way if a team had to forfeit a game because of this ruling.
Well, I don't know. Would it really be that bad on the NFL, or would it be that bad on the player who didn't get himself vaccinated and caused the outbreak?
Yeah, I would think maybe it's 50-50, but how would the fans react the fans of a playoff-bound team in contention for a playoff spot, then one of these things happens, that a player, unvaccinated player, equals a COVID outbreak among the team, causing a forfeit or two. How would the fans take that?
Well, obviously the fans of the team itself are going to be upset, but the other 27 teams, and especially the team that's getting the playoffs, is going to laugh at them because, you know, A, their player didn't get vaccinated, and B, they were probably stupid enough to go out and get it.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. And what would happen, though, if the scenario happened? There would be a lot of lawsuits by fans, disgruntled fans. Not that anything would happen because of the lawsuits.
Really go anywhere.
No.
You know, I mean, you sue anybody for anything, but it doesn't help. About the best a fan could do is probably get a refund for the ticket for the game that wasn't played.
Are there any stats regarding the NFL teams as to what percentage of a team has been vaccinated and what percent has not been vaccinated? Or is that not disclosed to the public?
They haven't disclosed it, but there are reports that the majority of the teams are over 80% and they're trying to get to 85% is where they would like to be by the time the regular season starts. So, you know, we'll see if they get there. And you do wonder if this rule will move that along. Now, we did see players like DeAndre Hopkins, who does not want to be vaccinated, say that, you know, he's having doubts about his NFL career now. And now you got to remember, this is very easy for a guy like this to say because he's probably made well over $100 million in his NFL career. So it's not difficult for someone like him to step out and say this is an issue. You know, it's the guys who are hanging on by a thread that aren't making that much money. Then I would be more interested in what they have to say. But as far as DeAndre Hopkins is concerned, he could shut up because he's got no leg to stand on.
No, and I wonder if he had his polio vaccine or not.
Basically, you had to go to school. So he had to have gotten it.
Yeah, true. And what about a flu shot, the yearly flu shot? I wonder if he gets that.
Yeah.
And if he does get that, why wouldn't he get the vaccine?
So, you know, like we did have a coach today. I believe the NFL has mandated that coaches have to get the vaccines. And the Minnesota Vikings assistant coach, Rick Dennison, actually retired today rather than get the vaccine.
Yeah, I find it very peculiar, the mindset with some of these individuals who are so reluctant to get the vaccine. I'd like to know what their thoughts about it. Why are they thinking those? What causes them to think this way?
Yeah, I've kind of wondered myself, and I know in my roommate's case, I believe I mentioned she's allergic to it, so she can't get
right.
it.
Right.
So there's just nothing, unfortunately. So, you know, obviously you can't hold that against her. But,
no,
you know, I mean, there are all kinds of crazy conspiracy theories. I think I told you in an email, I work with a woman who believes that the vaccine is actually the government implanting a tracking device into you.
Yeah. I've heard some of those theories, too. Mm-hmm. And they're really stretching when they say something like that. And you question the overall sanity of someone who would come up with that kind of a theory.
Yeah, well, you know, and like, you know, my response to her was, well, you know, my life isn't exactly exciting enough for the government to want to track it. So, you know, I mean, they're going to track me going from what, work to the grocery store to the health club and then back home? Yeah, that's, I'm really a problem. So, you know.
Yeah, weren't they interested in tracking you when you were active on the independent wrestling circuit?
Yeah, well, at least then, you know, they could have at least questioned why I was driving to all these weird places. But now, yeah, I basically, you know, I basically go in a circle every day. So, you know.
Right. And it's very strange, some of these people, these reasons. I guess it's some, was it Arkansas or Alabama I saw? They're in some of the rural areas, very, very few people have been vaccinated. And these people are actually coming down with the COVID and dying from it because they haven't been vaccinated. And they did say that of all the deaths that are occurring and some of the spikes that have gone up recently, 95% at least are from people who haven't been vaccinated. And that tells me something. And it should tell them something too, but evidently it doesn't have any effect on them.
No, well, you know, and I mean, you know how it is. People believe what they want to believe. You know, I did see that in some of the states where the I guess what's the best way to put it, the vaccination numbers are low, that they've actually begun to increase because of
right.
these recent issues. So,
I think Florida and Texas were mentioned, right? Those two states were. We're starting to spike, and that's because their percentage of people being vaccinated are low comparison to other areas of the country.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. There was a third state named as well, and I can't remember which one it was. But, yeah, so, we'll see what, and hopefully the NFL doesn't have to deal with this. You know, they did get all their games in last year. They had to move some around, which apparently they're not willing to do this year. So we'll see how it goes.
I certainly hope that it doesn't affect the outcome of the NFL season because a team has to forfeit a game or two. That would really bother me if that happened.
So, yeah, and then on to the other football news, which is actually on the college level. I don't know if you caught a little wind of this, but apparently the University of Texas and the University of Oklahoma have reached out to the SEC. Now, apparently this actually started 6 months ago, but it just broke a day or two about leaving the conference they're in, which is the – what are they? I forgot what they are. I can't remember. They're the Big 12. They would leave to join the SEC, which, of course, is looked upon as the best football conference in the country. So, do you think we're to the point where we're going to see what a lot of people projected, just quite a few years ago, where we're going to have four, power conferences and then just the other teams are just kind of hanging on?
I'm afraid it's going towards that theory, yeah. I think it's going to ultimately come down to that, and there'll be very, very few independent football teams that are going to be able to crack the top 10 or 20. I don't see it happening.
Yeah. So, and I know there have been reports that the Big Ten has reached out to schools, one of them being Notre Dame. Apparently the ACC has also reached out to Notre Dame. Now the Pac-12 came out today and said they're not seeking to add any new schools, but if a school came to them, they would listen. So it'll be interesting to see how this kind of falls out. So
yeah, certainly Notre Dame would be a huge, huge publicity gain for if a conference grabbed them.
Yeah, and Notre Dame, with the exception of last year because of COVID, they've been an independent forever. They did play an ACC schedule last year because they couldn't get an independent schedule done. But they have their own television deal. They're not affiliated with anybody. I mean, it's Notre Dame, and that's it. So they would be a big get for any conference that could land them. So we'll have to see
about that. What do you think the honchos at Notre Dame think about these overtures? Do you think that they would show some interest?
I think depending on where it was, they would listen. I don't know if a conference could offer them enough to really get them to join. You know, I mean, yeah. They make so much off their own TV deal with NBC, and they have their own radio deal. You know, to go in a conference kitty like that would actually limit what they would make.
Yeah, which leads us to believe, myself, is that they're not going to accept any kind of a deal. They might listen, but I think they're going to remain the major independent team for the foreseeable
future.
Yeah,
I mean, I would be shocked if they actually joined a conference permanently. That would be just a huge surprise for me.
Yeah, they've got everything going for them, including the name. There's a mystique behind the name Notre Dame. Everybody knows Notre Dame. Everybody knows their football program. So they're sitting pretty right now. So I don't see why they would possibly consider making a move to a conference.
Yeah, you know, unless it was kind of forced like last year, it wouldn't make a lot of sense for them. And even if they end up with, say, four power conferences, Notre Dame still won't have a problem scheduling opponents.
No.
You know, I mean, they'll always be able to play Army, Navy, and I'm sure, you know, BYU will stay on the schedule, and, you know, USC, because that's
USC,
a marquee matchup.
Sure, yeah. Traditionally, they play USC, what, the last game of the season? Normally?
Yeah, it used to be. I'm not sure if it always is, but it used to be like that. So.
Yeah, I would be surprised if they would even consider moving to a conference, even a prestigious one like the SEC.
Yeah. You know, and then, you know, you also have to wonder, you know, how well would they do? I mean, the SEC, you know, I know Texas and Oklahoma are good football programs, but, you know, in the SEC, let's face it, they're going to be middle of the pack.
Yeah, no question about that. And these are two schools with a huge football tradition and have always been ranked nationally. But, boy, if they move to the SEC, as you say, they wouldn't be number one, number two or anymore, would they?
No, and, you know, Texas has been down for a few years. You know, I know Oklahoma has been a little better, but Texas has had its struggles. And interestingly, you know, Texas is another one. They do have their own television network. They have the Longhorn Network, where I believe all the games had been shown. So it'll be interesting to see how that affects that. But, you know, it's clearly, you know, right now these moves are being made for money. That's all it is. I mean, they're going to tell you it's for competition and for all this kind of thing, but it's being done for the money. I don't know if you came across this one, but did you see where the Alabama quarterback, I forgot his name, I want to say it's Bryson Davis, but I'm not sure if that's correct. He already has $1 million in signed sponsor deals for this upcoming season.
I didn't see that, but that doesn't surprise me. And now that they've allowed them to do something like that, I suppose a lot of people think that it's overdue, that they should be able to have their own likenesses. And with all the money the colleges are making off their football players, you would think that the top players at least would be entitled to some kind of remuneration, which looks like it's going heading in his direction quite nicely.
You know, the only thing I want to know is what's his class schedule like. That's the only thing I want to know.
Yeah, but my question is, is he majoring in basket weaving?
Yeah, probably physical education. Isn't that the other one they always major in?
Yeah, years ago it was always the comedy, which said they're majoring in basket weaving. Although, well, from a logical standpoint, usually physical ed would be their major.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll see how that goes. And, yeah, it's actually, I think I said Bryce Davis. His name is actually Bryce Young. So I was close. At least I had one of the names right.
Yeah, you got 50% credit for that one.
Yeah, so we'll see how that works out. But, yeah, it's a... It's a good day to be a top top-tier college athlete, you know.
Yeah.
Or at
yeah.
least football player. I don't know if the other if
yeah,
the other ones get to do that. So.
Has anybody else made some signings like he has so far? Or is he the only one that's been mentioned so?
He's the only one that's been mentioned, I think, because he hit that wonderful million-dollar mark. But there are other guys I know that have signed deals. There are plenty of guys that have inked some kind of sponsorship and, you know, whatever they're calling it. So
now, if these guys ink deals, would the NCAA permit them to get a publicist to help them out with these things? Or
yeah, you know, I haven't heard that. I don't know if that would be akin to hiring an agent, which I believe is still against the rules. But yeah, I don't know.
And I'm sure that if he's getting this kind of money, I don't think the NCAA could do anything about it. If he says, "Well, I need some kind of a tax expert to help me figure out what to do and how to invest these funds."
Yeah, you know, and that may be the route they go, you know, because obviously he would need an accountant of some type to help him with this. So yeah, my guess would be, you know, yeah, that's what they would call it.
Unless he's an accounting major.
Even though I'm gonna guess not on that one, but you know, we'll see.
Well, it's getting close to the start of the college football season. It'll be August, a week from Sunday. So things are moving along, and that means that NFL will be heading for their training camp, and we'll have some interesting things to look forward to as an alternative to MLB.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know, you know, well, what is there only one? There's only one there's only one preseason game, right, this year for the NFL.
Yeah, that's true, and they are going to play a 17-game schedule this year. Is that official?
Yes. So.
Well,
we'll
be looking forward to some football at least to watch. Even though we won't be able to watch the XFL or USFL next year.
No, we got to wait another year for that before that all starts shaking out. Or is one of them coming back in 23? I forgot who was.
Yeah, I know
doing
there was a delay. There was a delay Dwayne Johnson's league. I forgot. His is XFL, right? Isn't that?
Yeah, he bought
a delayed
the
year.
Yeah, so.
And I got a feeling some people are going to lose a lot of money on these ventures when they officially start.
Yeah, it's it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But you know, who knows, right?
Right. Well, we'll wait and see. And maybe they won't go belly up after a year this time.
Yeah. Again, it looks like college football actually starts. Looks like August 28th is the kickoff for the BS schedule, which is the main level now. So, and it looks like Illinois actually starts off the season. They're hosting Nebraska at 1 p.m. on August 28th. They're the first game.
Well, that game doesn't sound all that exciting, does it?
No, you know, I mean, it's Nebraska used to be a football powerhouse, but they've fallen on some hard times, and you know, I mean, I guess Illinois is okay. They have a new coach, so we'll have to see.
Yeah, well, I have more confidence in the basketball team being a winner than I do with the football team.
So yeah, but yeah, they are one of five games. They're the first of five games on that day. So
yeah, well, that's not much longer to wait then, is it? A few more weeks and
no.
The season will be starting.
Yeah, just a shade over a month, and it will be here before you know it. So, not that I watch a ton of college football, and you know, hey.
Yeah, years ago I used to watch more of college football than I do now. For some reason, my interest has waned over the years, excluding a playoff game.
Yeah, well,
you know, if Northwestern gets to do a playoff game, you know, we're going to watch that. But on a regular basis, very, very little.
Yeah, what actually kind of ruined it for me, when I was younger, you know, I used to watch a lot of it, but the older I got, when I begun to realize that they weren't exactly student athletes, that really kind of ruined it for me. So,
well, I think people were kind of knew that there was something, that they weren't exactly student athletes.
Well, you know, I was young and stupid, so I didn't know. I actually thought they were going to class and, you know, playing football at the same time. I didn't realize that it was just kind of a scam.
Years ago, let's go way back now, did a player have to attend all 4 years of college before he was eligible for the NFL?
Yes.
Today?
Yeah, they had to stay for 4 years. So
yeah, that's been eliminated from possibility now for many years now.
Yeah, I believe if I remember correctly, you may still have to stay 2 years. But yeah, it's no longer the 4 year rule, and you know, well, you know, in the NBA, you don't even have it's back to where you don't even have to go to college anymore.
No. At one time it was 1 year, and now, hey, you graduate and from high school, you can play in the pros if you're good enough.
And I actually believe it's to the point now where you don't even have to go to high school; you can get in their developmental G League if you want. So.
You know, you're talking about high school. I have to bring up a point that I don't know what your take is, but this bothers me. Years ago when you went to high school, you lived in a certain area and you go to that high school. Some of these high school athletes, basketball athletes, they'll go 1 year to New York, transfer to Wisconsin for the second year, go someplace else in their third year. And this doesn't sit right with me. I don't know what you think about it, but saying that your athleticism in high school sports is no longer pure.
No, not at all. Especially basketball. Basketball is by far the most corrupt sport out of any of the sports. I mean, you know, yeah, basketball players magically pop up. Whoever does the best job of recruiting, even at the high school level, and my guess is there's some payola involved. It's ridiculous.
And no one seems to say anything about it. I mean, it's a common thing now for some of these top athletes, top basketball players. You know, the guy's going to shoe in to at least be very successful in college or in the pros. As I mentioned before, he'll go year to year. Every year he'll go to a different school, high school,
yeah,
before it's all said and done.
You know, and then if they're not getting the grades, they go to one of those prep academies.
Yeah.
So
things are...
Yeah, it's just...
are disturbing when these things happen, but I guess... it's not going to change anytime soon, if ever.
No, not at all. But I did want to bring up also, I'm sure you know this, tonight is the first round of the NHL draft where the Blackhawks have the 13th pick. Technically, it's the 12th because the Arizona Coyotes forfeit the 11th pick. And I was looking at some projections, and apparently everybody seems to believe that they will be taking a goaltender by the name of Sebastian Cosa.
Yeah, well, they can use a new goaltender. They haven't had too much success in the goaltending department in the last couple of years.
Yeah, so they definitely
Lankinen,
now.
Lankinen was a goalie, and he started out pretty well, but it seemed like the league caught up with him, and he was pretty bad towards the end of the season.
Yeah, now this kid, Cosa, was 17-1-1 last year with a 157 goals against average. He had a 941 save percentage. He threw four shutouts in his 19th start. So, yeah, definitely big numbers. He's a big kid, too. He's 6'6". So he's big for a goaltender.
Maybe he's too big for a goaltender.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, that's you very seldom see one who's 6'6".
So, yeah, and then the it looks like the number one overall pick is owned by the Buffalo Sabres. And it looks like they're taking a defenseman, and I want to double-check his name here, or at least they're predicted to take a defenseman. And this is the perfect hockey name, especially for a defenseman. Owen Power is this guy's name. He played at Michigan. So
we'll see if these things work out. The expansion team Seattle Kraken, are they eligible in the draft, or are they just drawing on a pool of players available from other teams?
They actually get the number two pick in the draft. So
they
will be making a So Yeah, the NHL really changed their expansion to where it's set up for teams to have some success, right out of the gate. So,
well, you have to figure that Seattle being where they are and should draw pretty well with their hockey team.
Yeah, well, it seems like they've been interested in getting a hockey team now for a few years. So hopefully, the fans will show up, and they're not. I don't think they did as well as Las Vegas did in the expansion draft, but they look like they could be a borderline playoff team. So they may get in their first year, and that's always exciting for an expansion team.
That is, and Las Vegas did very well as an expansion team, and didn't take them very long before they were a serious playoff contender.
Well, the first year, they went to the Stanley Cup Finals. They lost to Washington that first year.
They have done very well with their picks and their choices. And they haven't fallen off either. I mean, they're still a contending team.
No, and if you do want to watch the draft tonight, ESPN, it's on ESPN2 at 7 p.m. So...
What, to miss SmackDown?
Yes, you would have to miss some of SmackDown. So, but yeah, that's and of course, a lot of times there's been a multiple NHL trades today for teams either to get draft picks or move salary cap players and stuff. So there's been a lot going on NHL wise if you're into it.
Yeah, I think I'll have to stick to the White Sox and the Brewers tonight. That should be an interesting ball game, at least.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see how that goes. But since you brought up baseball, we did have one game in the afternoon, and believe it or not, the Cubs actually got a win. Of course, they did beat just the Arizona Diamondbacks. They ended up winning 8-3. So everybody else is tonight. But we did finally have a little bit of movement in the trade market as the Tampa Bay Rays were involved in two trades. Now, last night, they ended up being the team that acquired Nelson Cruz from the Minnesota Twins. They got Cruz and a minor leaguer for two minor leaguers. And then today they sent Rich Hill, the left-handed pitcher and former Cub. He is on his way to the New York Mets, and in return, and they get Tommy Hunter, the relief pitcher, and a minor league catcher by the name of Matt Dwyer. Hunter, by the way, also had a cup of coffee with the Cubs. I believe I mentioned that. Hunter is also currently on the IL.
Well, when Tampa makes these deals, I kind of sit up and take notice because it usually works out in their favor.
So, yeah, they do a really good job, especially with pitchers. So.
Yeah, they are still in contention, and they're not that far behind Boston.
No, and they are actually currently, they do hold one of the wild card spots.
Yeah,
so they could be a playoff team.
And are the Yankees
moved?
And the Yankees moved past Toronto, did they not? And so they're still pretty far behind, though.
Yeah, it's it's touch and go there with the Yankees. I know them and Toronto have kind of flipped positions a couple times. I'm waiting for my internet to cooperate here, and I will be able to give you the actual standings and tell you where everybody is. So
I'll actually be surprised if the Yankees actually make it as a wild card this season, because they have two teams to pass in the National League East and the American League East, and that's not easy to do.
Yeah, the Yankees are currently 8 games out in third place, while the Blue Jays are just a half a game behind them. So they're not that far ahead of Toronto.
Yeah, but as I pointed out, both Boston and Tampa have a commanding lead over the Yankees, and that's going to be hard to overtake two teams like that, even to qualify as a wild card. And I don't know if it's going to be done. I don't think they're going to do it.
Well, you know, the wild card may be a little more accomplishable. Let's see where they are there. Yeah, they're only 4.5 games behind the A's for a wild card spot, and that's the only team they're chasing is Oakland. You know, it's Tampa Bay, Oakland, then the Yankees and the Mariners are both 4.5 out. So that's a possibility there that they could end up with that second wild card spot. But, yeah, winning the division, I don't think they're going to make up. The only way they're going to make up 8 games is if they beat the Red Sox and the Rays every time they play them the remainder of the season.
Yeah, and I doubt that that's going to happen.
So, you know, and I mean, they need help, and they still haven't made any ads.
No,
so,
and
we'll see.
July 30th is fast approaching, by the way. So when is it? Next Friday.
Yeah.
So we haven't seen as much movement in terms of free agency signings and deals that I thought there would be.
Yeah, and you do wonder if maybe these couple trades by the Rays will get them going, especially with Cruz coming off the market, because he was a big time, you know, get for any contender. So that's a big deal.
Yeah, you're getting a guy who's not the youngster, of course, but you're getting a solid hitter who's having another good year behind at the plate.
Yeah, no, I mean, you've got a guy who just continues to produce. So, you know, and I mean, it's not a big risk. He's only signed for the remainder of the year. So there's no extra contract length or anything coming up.
Yeah, so I'm sure they dealt away a couple of pitchers who maybe eventually 2 or 3 years down the road might produce for them. But in the meantime, they're getting a top-flight hitter, and they could wind up winning the division.
Yeah, it's possible. They are only a game behind Baltimore. Or Baltimore, sorry, Boston. Yeah, like Baltimore's in the lead there. So
yeah, right there. Now, I don't think Baltimore's going to make it in the playoffs this year.
No, definitely not. So not going to happen.
Oh, by the way, you were talking about the Cubs winning today, 8-3, and I mentioned about their superstar catcher. I was talking about Chirinos. Is that the way you pronounce his name? He hit two home runs for the Cubs today.
Actually, it's Chirinos, but you were close.
I was close. I get 80% credit for that one. But, yeah, he had 3-for-4 today for the Cubs, including two home runs.
So,
yeah.
Considering I believe he's also pushing 40, so, you know, that's that's not too bad.
No. That's the only interesting thing that happened in today's game.
Was it? I didn't even know.
Well, Baez hit a homer in the first with two men on base, but that's about and Davies skirted around problems and wound up pitching, I guess, close to six innings, which is about his average, over 100 pitches. And
yeah, I did see that. This was only the seventh time this year that a Cubs pitcher has thrown over 100 pitches in a game. So they're really not allowing guys to get stretched out or go deep into games at all.
No. And I was surprised they let him go as long as he did. I think, what did he wind up with, 103, 104 before they finally pulled him?
Yeah, apparently. I don't even know off the top of my head. So
I was thinking about this. I had to quickly ask you about the Cubs. Well, we all thought they would have a poor season. At least you and I did. Does this mean that David Ross's job is up for grabs, you think? Would they make him a scapegoat?
You know, they do things like that, but I think, you know, anybody with any baseball acumen and, you know, not obviously being a loyalist. If you remember when we made predictions, Dan actually picked them to win the division out of his love for the team, where you and I had them in fourth where they are now. I don't think you can hold this against Ross because they didn't give him a team to win with.
No, they did not. They did not, that's for sure. And I have a feeling, by the way, that this season has aged Rossi a little bit.
Oh, it should have, you know, with the way, you know, the way this team has played and went. And, you know, they feasted against the easy part of their schedule early and they got everybody excited. And then they hit some better teams and they ended up where they are. But, I mean, you know, when you're buying into a rotation, I mean, like, I have no problem with Kyle Hendricks. I don't think he's a number one, but I don't have a problem with him in your rotation. But when he's followed by Zach Davies, Jake Arrieta, an untested rookie in Adbert Azalea, and then God only knows what else they were going to fill in the fifth start. You know, I know Alec Mills has kind of taken that over. Not exactly what you're going to beat the doors down with pitching-wise to win a title. So.
And what about Jake Arrieta? Hasn't the 10 days elapsed a long time ago for him to be off the IL?
Yes, but the rumor was that when he was put on the IL that this was it for him. Even if he got better, he wouldn't be back.
You mean they're going to outright release him?
No, they're just going to give him the rest of the year off, and then they'll make it. Well, I believe his contract is an option year, so I doubt they'll be picking him up. He'll just probably sit out the rest of the year, or maybe he comes back in September. But everybody believes that everything I read, everybody is saying that they believe that he's done in the starting rotation, and if he comes back, he'll be used out of the bullpen.
Yeah, really, when you think about it, it was a questionable move by the Cubs' part because He hasn't been very good the last couple of years, and they took a chance on him anyway. With they could have signed Lester maybe for less than what Arrieta's getting. I'm not sure what Arrieta's getting, but certainly some bad decision-making on their part.
Yeah, Arrieta was signed for one year at $6 million with a $10 million mutual option for next year. Obviously, the Cubs won't be picking that up.
No.
So.
No. And he could be done. He could be retired after this season.
Yeah, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, he'll be 36. He's had... You know, he's had some injury issues here late in his career. You know, my guess is there will be a team out there that will sign him to a minor league deal with the invite to spring training and take a look at him. But, yeah, I mean, I don't see him, you know, doing anything spectacular. So.
No. And that shows you the wear and tear and attrition on a pitcher's arm, because look how dominant he was just a few years ago.
Yeah, well, you know what was odd is, you know, obviously he won the Cy Young back in 2015, and, you know, while his ERA jumped a little bit the next 2 years with the Cubs, it still wasn't bad. It was acceptable. Scott Boras got him his money. He went to Philadelphia, and boy, did he stink.
Yeah, I'm sure Philadelphia regretted that deal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely one of the worst free agent deals, probably the worst free agent deal that season. But, yeah, just terrible.
Yeah, like you never know when the accumulation of wear and tear on your arm and the injuries have impact it has on your career and – like I say, he could be done. You know, it wouldn't surprise me.
And I mean, he was young going to Philly. I mean, he was only 32. They paid him $75 million for three seasons. And they got, what is that, 22 wins in 64 starts.
So is he going to give some of the money back to them?
I don't think they do that, do they? You know,
no.
I don't believe it. You know, yeah.
Say, I did so poorly for Philadelphia, I'm going to give them back a little bit of the money that I earned.
I'm sure they would appreciate it, but
yeah
I don't think that.
It's not going to happen, right? It's not going to happen. But, yeah, he was an exciting pitcher in his day. Obviously, he had a lot of talent, and the Cubs made a great deal when they got him, but I guess his time is up.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. He is definitely run the gambit there. And, I mean, if you look back on that deal, the Cubs not only got Arrieta in that deal, they got Pedro Strop,
right,
who was a very good reliever for them. And all they dealt off was Steve Clevenger and Scott Feldman. And I know Feldman was having a really good year when they traded him. But – He didn't. I don't believe he really did much after he got to Baltimore, did he?
No.
Yeah,
no.
He was actually 5-6 for them with a 4.27 ERA. So.
And you remember earlier on this year, the Cubs reacquired Pedro Strop, but somehow he left the team, and it was never really explained what that decision was. Was personal reasons or
something? You know, I know he was injured, to start with, but, yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, he hasn't even pitched any. You know, did he? Yeah, he pitched a couple innings. Yeah, he actually pitched a couple really good innings. He's actually 1-0 with no ERA in those two innings. But, yeah, I don't really know what happened to him or – you know, what they said. I mean, I don't believe he's been released. He's just out.
Yeah. And I guess he didn't announce his retirement, as far as I know.
So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. But, Yeah, God, surprisingly, he's in his 13th year. I didn't realize. I knew he'd been around a while. I didn't realize he was in double digits already.
Yeah, he's had a long career.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He had some great seasons. He had some very good seasons for the Cubs.
Yeah, no, he ended up being a very solid, a solid reliever, through his career.
Yeah.
Never quite turned into the closer that teams wanted him to be, but yeah, he was really good with the Cubs for a really long time, and he was having some success in Baltimore before they shipped him over, and he started with Texas where his last year there he did well. So
yeah, so he had some nice seasons over the course of his career.
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely a quality setup man. Never really evolved into that closer, but a lot of there are a lot of guys that didn't. So
no, they may have tried him at closing a couple of times, but you have to have a certain mindset to close, and I guess he just didn't have that mindset.
Some guys can do it, some guys can't. So we'll see. But all right, well, let's get into some picks here before we run out of time. You did split last week. You went 2-2, so you are 46-43 for the season. So we will just jump right into tonight. And obviously, you can't pick the Cubs to win because they've already played. But we got the White Sox. They are in Milwaukee to play the Brewers. We have Lucas Giolito for the White Sox and Freddie Peralta for the Brewers. Who wins that game?
I'm going to pick the Brewers to win tonight's game.
All right, there we go. So then we will jump to tomorrow. And where did I see the game? There we go. Tomorrow it is Merrill Kelly for the Diamondbacks against Alec Mills for the Cubs. And we'll just go straight up here too as well. Do the Cubs get a second win, or does Arizona pick up a game in this series?
This is a toss-up, and I'm going to have to go with Alec Mills getting the job done for the Cubs tomorrow.
All right, so then we're going to jump to both the Sunday games here. Oh, yeah, that's right. That would be a little later. All right, Caleb Smith is making the start for Arizona while Trevor Williams starts for the Cubs. Let's do combined runs in this game. Let's say over or under 6.5 for both teams.
I will say over.
All right. And then we will move on. The White Sox and the Brewers are the Sunday night game on ESPN. We have Lance Lynn against Brandon Woodruff. Now, both these guys are in the Cy Young conversation. What I want you to come up with is, will they pitch over or under a combined, let's say, 12 2/3 innings in this game?
I will say over.
All right, a couple of overs. Yeah, the pitching one is so tough because you just never know how long these guys are going to last now. So
yeah, it's different. It's not like the days when Fergie Jenkins or a Bob Gibson pitch, that's for sure.
I know you'll be disappointed because I know you were planning on watching the Angels game today, but I did see that Joe Maddon has given Shohei Ohtani the night off. So you will not be able to see him. Yeah, I had to go in and adjust my Home Run Derby lineup because I had him in the free FanDuel Home Run Derby. And I also had him in one of my FanDuel lineups, so I had to go in and make a bunch of adjustments there really quick. So
I haven't checked. Are the Angels still below 500, or are they over 500 now?
Let me jump in here again, and I can tell you tell you real quick. Well, I shouldn't say real quick because you know my internet. They are 47-48, 10 games out of first place in the West.
So I think we're safe in saying that they will not be in the playoffs this year.
No, another year where we will not see the Angels in the playoffs. So we will see. But yeah, they would need a, you know, maybe when Mike Trout comes back, they could get hot. But they're a long way. I mean, they're behind quite a few teams, even in the wild card race.
Is
you know,
Trout
they have
to come
you know
back toward the end of the season now, or what's the latest on him?
He just started. They said he started running at 90%. So that's got to get him close. But nobody knows. There's been no timetable set for his return. So
maybe we're at best just saying maybe late August.
Maybe, yeah. But you know, even if he comes back, you know, they have four teams ahead of him in just the wild card race.
Yeah, that's
so they would have a lot. Actually, technically, they would need to jump five because they would have to get into the wild card.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's
not going to happen.
It's not
going to
happen.
No.
Yeah. So. But yeah, you know, again, it, you know, kind of sad that Mike Trout has made one playoff appearance in his entire career, and he's the best player in baseball.
Yeah, that's a shame that he hasn't had a chance to play in the playoffs with all the talent. But you have to have some horses behind you too. You can't just do it by yourself.
You know, and then I know we didn't get too much time to talk about it, but maybe you can throw out your opinion here real quick. Next year, the Indians become the Cleveland Guardians. What do you think of that?
I wasn't too thrilled with the name, and hey, maybe Disney can sue them. Isn't one of their franchises the Guardians or Masters of the Guardians or some such thing?
They have Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I don't know, but when they were in the way back when, maybe when they were. In the 1900s, they had another name. Was it the Spiders? I like that name better.
Spiders. Yeah, they had some other miscellaneous names, like they were the Cleveland Blues, and they had a couple other things that popped up. But, yeah, everybody I heard today was kind of hoping they'd pick the Spiders. But apparently the Guardians relates to the city somehow. I don't know the matchup there, but somebody was saying today that it has something to do with the city.
Yeah, I don't know what the reason, how that works out, but it's going to be hard for the average fan to think about them as being anything other than the Cleveland Indians. Political correctness, notwithstanding, it's hard to switch your mindset to a different name after so many years.
You know, I do give them credit for at least picking something, because there's no way I was going to call them the Cleveland baseball team. You know, like we still have the Washington football team who hasn't picked anything yet. So
that's right. Boy, it's been a while. You think that by now they would have picked a new name.
Yeah, you know, I keep hearing that they've narrowed it down and they might announce something, and then it never comes up. So
we don't know what.
But all right, well.
No,
I don't know. What do you say you and I pack it in and we start the weekend? Yeah. Do them have a go. As we'll be back to Monday the 4th. If you want to come up, you know, tomorrow we're going to have a meeting with our time, but I'm going to look for the new blog tomorrow morning. We'll get to see you over on Facebook page. All of you, one time we're going to be on Facebook. Most of us on Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. If you're looking at on Twitter, I'm at Bugs.com. It's B-U-R-C-E-T-I-F. If you were able to stop by and listen to us live, well, thank you for doing that. But if you missed out, head on over to tunein.com and you can listen to us over there anytime you want. All right, we'll have a safe weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday.